Welcome to Clinical Conversations 123rd podcast. It comes to you from Journal Watch, whose website is at jwatch.org. I'm Joe Elia. It's June 1st, 2011. Dr. Danielle Schurer of Physicians First Watch and the Medical University of South Carolina is also here. This time, we take a look at a study from Sweden published in BMJ last week. It found that above certain levels, adding calcium to dietary intake has little effect on women's risk for fracture or osteoporosis. In the study, researchers followed a cohort of about 60,000 women, average age about 55 years at entry, for a median of 20 years. Using repeated food frequency questionnaires, they divided the women into quintiles according to their calcium intake. They found that those in the lowest quintile were at greatest risk for fracture or osteoporosis during the follow-up. Women in the highest quintiles showed no advantage over those in the lower, but not lowest, quintile. In fact, very high intakes were associated with greater risk for hip fracture. The study's first author, Dr. Eva Varensker, has kindly agreed to talk with us about her work. She's a research scientist at Uppsala University in the Department of Surgical Sciences and in the university's Clinical Research Center. Welcome, Eva.
Thank you.
I hope I pronounced your name reasonably well, and I'm sorry if I didn't.
No worries.
Did you expect to find such a narrow range of benefit? It looks like the women needed to get something like 800 milligrams a day, and getting more didn't help much.
I think that my boss, or Professor Mikaelsson, the last author of this paper, I think that he had had a feeling that this would be sort of the result, but not really. So I was surprised, and yes, it's but the results are very convincing. So.
And you mentioned in the introduction of your paper that there's a pretty wide range of recommended dietary intake of calcium in Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, based on your findings, that we should probably be a little more precise with our calcium intake recommendations and maybe even lower what we're currently recommending?
You mean in the United States?
Yes.
I guess this is a very big study, and I guess these results add to the whole knowledge, or the knowledge about calcium intake and osteoporosis. And maybe it is true that the recommendations are too high, but I guess this is one study, and I think that people doing these recommendations will certainly look at our study, but I don't know if this is enough in order to change the guidelines at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, just based on your cohort and other studies, we still have a big problem with osteoporosis and its ramifications. I mean, you found about a 25% fracture rate over the course of this 20-year follow-up, and about 20% at the end of follow-up had fit criteria for osteoporosis. So, this is still, clearly a pretty big problem. And just to clarify, because one of your findings obviously was that increasing calcium above that threshold of about 800 milligrams a day didn't seem to benefit, and that
mm-hmm.
what might be surprising in your findings to some readers is this finding of the highest intake of calcium was associated with a higher risk of hip fractures. So can you just summarize the hypothesis of why you think the highest level of calcium intake was associated with hip fracture?
Yes. First of all, I would like to say that this increased risk, we were surprised by it, and we are very careful about the interpretation of the results, and we think that it needs to be further studied. But we have some hypothesis about why we could see that a higher intake of calcium is associated with an increased risk. And we know that a higher calcium intake may slow bone turnover and reduce the number of active bone remodeling sites. The situation can lead to a delay of the bone repair caused by fatigue, for example. And, okay. and this would lead to an increased risk of fractures independent of bone mineral density. And also, we know that with time, the hip bone, it enlarges. Mm-hmm. But with a high calcium intake, this enlargement can be reduced. Hmm. So we have some thoughts about why this could happen, but we're not sure.
So is the take-home message, as you say in your conclusion, to for policymakers and for clinicians in general, to concentrate on getting the lowest levels of intake up to acceptable levels rather than increasing the intakes, everyone's intakes across the board, just to make sure that they're getting enough calcium?
That is the take-home message from our study.
All right. Well,
yeah,
I think this is very practical, and you studied a large population, and you've come out with some very simple observations that are very important. That weren't there before. So congratulations.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, no worries. It was my pleasure spending time with you guys.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Conversation 123. Earlier podcasts are all available at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time. For myself and Dr. Danielle Scherer, thank you for listening.